Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We'll be reading the entire chapter except for the last verse. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, arrayed in his royal apparel, Herod sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and preaching of his word this morning. If you turn on the television and watch the news, You might be tempted to shake your head and wonder, what is going on in this crazy world? Why are we being forced to do things contrary to our faith and contrary to our conscience? Why are righteous people punished for not baking cakes or for being unwilling to call boys girls and girls boys? Why are we persecuted for upholding harmless convictions? What is becoming of our nation? Well, similar questions might be asked by the people in our passage. Is there any meaning to history? Is there any meaning to what's going on? Is anyone in control? Why are the civil rulers allowed to get away with persecuting God's people? But we will see that this is simply not the case. For in our passage, Jesus, the true Lord and King, astonishingly and decisively strikes first to release his word by delivering Peter from prison, and second, to reclaim his glory by punishing Herod for pride. Jesus is the true Lord and King, and in our passage, he astonishingly and decisively strikes to release his word by delivering Peter from prison. That's the first point. Herod Agrippa I. He's the grandson of Herod the Great. Here he's called Herod the King. Unlike many of, there's the Herodian dynasty. Many of his relatives have been reigning for years in this area and still do. But he had the coveted title of king. And that title was given to him by the Roman Emperor Caligula. And by AD 41, his kingdom was essentially as large as his grandfather's. He ruled over Galilee, Perea, Judea, and Samaria. Now, in the previous chapter, chapter 11, in verse 21, we read that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And now we read, Herod stretched out his hand to harass those from the church. He killed James, the brother of John. This was one of the sons of Zebedee. And you'll remember that Jesus had told James and John that they would indeed drink his cup and share his baptism by participating in his suffering. And here it happens to one of them. One of them is killed. Now Herod had a vested interest in keeping the Jews happy. They had a history of causing trouble. And he wanted the Romans to leave him alone. So this is not unlike Pilate, who released Barabbas instead of Jesus to keep the Jews content. The Jews liked seeing James put to death, and Herod took note of that. So to further ingratiate them, he imprisoned Peter with the intent of killing him. But since this happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a feast which happened immediately after Passover, in which there would be no capital punishments executed during the feast, that means that he had to wait until the feast was over. So Peter's in prison, but the church is fervently and constantly praying for him. And it appears that this occurred over several days. Herod put Peter in a maximum security prison. One person had four guards assigned to him. Okay? He was chained to two of them. The other two guards were at the door of his cell. the soldiers would have maintained 3-hour watches through the night. 4 soldiers, 3 hours. There's no way anyone could possibly fall asleep during that time. Surprisingly, Peter is sleeping. He's showing no signs of anxiety. This is the third time Peter has been imprisoned, according to Acts. For all he knows, tomorrow he will be put to death. In spite of the persecution and imprisonment, Peter trusts his Lord. But the night before Herod intended to kill Peter, something happened. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord strikes Peter on the side. This is the first strike in our passage. The angel picks him up. His chains fall off. He girds himself. He gets his sandals. He follows the angel through some gates. The last one opens of its own accord, and Peter finds himself outside the prison and alone. And eventually he comes to himself and realizes it was not a vision. It was not a dream. What just happened was real. Well, after the prison break, Peter realizes that the Lord had delivered him from the hand of Herod. So he goes to what apparently was one of the regular meeting places of the apostolic church, to Mary's house. Mary was the mother of John Mark, probably the author of the second gospel. She appears to have been wealthy. This was a large enough house that had a gate. It had enough room for the disciples to meet. She had a servant. So Peter's knocking on the door in the middle of the night. Rhoda, surprised and overjoyed at hearing Peter's voice, leaves him at the door. Runs in to interrupt the prayer meeting. But no one believes her. They think she's crazy. Maybe it's his angel. A similar thing happened after Jesus' resurrection. The women recounted it to the disciples, but they didn't believe the report. But Peter persists. Eventually they open the door. They're astonished. It's Peter. So he asks them to quiet down. He explains that the Lord had brought him out of prison. He says, tell the other disciples in Jerusalem, tell James, and then he goes into hiding. The way the story is told in the passage highlights something about the people. Herod grabs James and kills him. He manhandles Peter and tosses him into prison. Peter is helpless. Peter's asleep. Peter doesn't even know that what's happening is really happening. Rhoda leaves Peter at the door, endangering his life as soldiers hunt him down. The praying church doesn't even believe that their prayer has been answered. When they see Peter, they're astonished. They're shocked. It's comical. All of this demonstrates that they couldn't possibly save themselves. They have no recourse but to depend on the Lord. They are weak, impotent, powerless. Now, in the Roman world, imprisonment, unlike today, was not itself punishment for a crime. Prisons were like holding cells for people who were awaiting trial or awaiting execution. This suggests that the Lord Jesus is the judge. He has vindicated Peter by freeing him. Someone stronger than Herod is reigning, and the church knew that. That's why they prayed for Peter. Feeble and frail, they trusted Jesus even in the midst of severe persecution. The church described here is an example to us. We can pray. We can sleep soundly at night. We have faith in the resurrected, ascended Lord. Well, after some searching and some questioning, Herod summarily executed the guards. And then he went to Caesarea, which is on the Mediterranean coast, south of Tyre and Sidon. Now that's first. The Lord, Jesus Christ, astonishingly and decisively striked to free Peter from prison. Second, he strikes to reclaim his glory by punishing Herod for pride. Herod met the people of Tyre and Sidon in Caesarea. Now, just as in Old Testament times, these sea land cities depended on the inland cities and regions for their food. We don't know why Herod was angry with them, but in any case, it was important for them to make amends, so they befriended one of Herod's personal close servants, Blastus, and asked for peace. Notice, though, that Luke emphasizes Herod is a king. Verse 1, Herod's the king. Verse 20, the king's personal aid, the king's country. Verse 21, his royal apparel, his throne. This entire chapter is asking the question, who is the true Lord and King? Who is the true Lord and King? Is it Herod, as his title suggests? Well, on a set day, the people met to have an audience with the king. He sat on his throne in his royal clothes and he made a speech. And the people began shouting, "The voice of God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord struck him dead. He was eaten by worms and died. This was because he did not give glory to God. Josephus, a Jewish historian, recorded some additional details about this. He wrote that Herod was wearing a garment made wholly of silver. You can imagine. It shone and glittered in the sun. He looks like a god and the people are worshiping him. And according to Josephus, because he accepted the praise that only belongs to God, God struck him. That very day, he got a stomach ailment and after 5 days, he died in AD 44. This is astonishing. This is sudden. For the second time in our passage, the Lord decisively strikes. See, we have no reason to wonder who is in control. The Lord is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. And the Lord that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of Old Testament connections that are interesting to connect with our passage. First is Ezekiel. The king of Tyre lifted up his heart and said, "I am a god. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas." And the Lord replied, "Will you still say before him who slays you, 'I am a god'? But you shall be a man and not a god in the hand of him who slays you." And Ezekiel, at that time, the king of Tyre was an oppressor of God's people. It is ironic, then, that the people of Tyre worship the king of Judah as a god. Is there another place in the scriptures where the Lord astonishingly and decisively acts to free his people from the oppression of a foreign king? Yes, in the book of Acts. Consider these connections. It's not accidental that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is mentioned at the beginning of our passage. These feasts were instituted at the Exodus and remembrance of the Exodus. James was killed with a sword. Exodus 18:4 speaks of being delivered from the sword of Pharaoh. Herod stretched out his hand over the church. Peter was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. In Exodus 18, Jethro says, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods." Peter is told to dress in haste, to gird himself, to tie on his sandals, to depart and follow the angel. The Israelites are told in Exodus 12, "Put a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and to eat in haste." The angel of the Lord struck Herod dead. The same word occurs in Exodus 12 with the last plague on Egypt when the firstborn is struck. Peter is delivered at midnight. The striking in Exodus 12 occurs at midnight. King Herod died while on display of his glory. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, died in the Red Sea with his army. Again and again in the Old Testament, that simple word, translated here, strike, refers to God's judgment when he strikes down his enemies. Same word occurs in 2 Kings 19 when we read that the angel of the Lord went out and struck in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 dead. Like old Pharaoh, Herod, the enemy of God, the enemy of his people. So God strikes him dead. Jesus is the true Lord and King. Well, final connection with the Old Testament is from Isaiah. Consider these similarities mostly with Isaiah 42, which we read earlier. Peter is in prison at night, provided a light and freed. Isaiah 42 speaks of one given as a light for the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Tyre and Sidon are coastland cities representing Gentile nations. In Isaiah we read that the coastland shall wait for his law. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in them, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. Herod was struck because he did not give glory to God. Isaiah 42. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not, and my glory I will not give to another. Herod was eaten by worms. Isaiah 51. Instructs Israel not to be afraid of men, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. And Isaiah 14, speaking of judgment on the king of Babylon, says, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High. The eschatological deliverance prophesied by Isaiah is echoed in Acts 12. The eschatological judgment prophesied by Isaiah is again echoed in Acts chapter 12. The coastland cities who should have been worshiping the Lord were instead worshiping a mere proud, arrogant man. And God would have none of that. In some respects, the Jews were glad to have Herod as their king. And what does that tell us about the state of the Jews at this time? We read this earlier in our call to worship. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. And his spirit departs, he returns to his earth, in that very day his plans perish. Herod was king for 3 years over that large area. We've seen in numerous other passages in the Old Testament, God is in control. He makes nations rise, he makes them fall, He can in an instant change hands. Are you anxious over the future of our society? Are you scared about upcoming elections? Remember that these are all but men. We hope, we pray, we work for righteous rule, but we must keep things in perspective. Jesus is the only true sovereign. Do you lose sleep over what tomorrow might bring? We all do at times. We all do. Are you irritable because there are things happening in your life that are outside of your control? Jesus is the true Lord and King. You need to trust Him. You need to not fear. Peter made it out alive. James didn't. Why? We don't know. God knows, and we have no reason to be concerned about it. Following the martyrdom of Stephen, there was a successful and fruitful missionary activity in Samaria. After the martyrdom of James, the same thing happened in Gentile lands. Saul, who persecuted the church, was conquered by the Lord. Herod, who was persecuting the church, was struck dead. There is a connection. There's a link between judgment, salvation, and suffering. And why this terminology of Peter being struck? Well, there's a faint echo here of Moses who struck the rock. Again, the word strike is the same word used there. Peter comes from the same word as rock. The rock is struck and water flows for God's people. Peter's suffering and deliverance meant grace to the church, release and freedom to proclaim the word. Deliverance comes parallel to judgment. The whole point is that God's word cannot be stopped. The summary result of the chapter is that the word of God grew and multiplied. Well, you thought I was done. There's one more Old Testament connection. In conclusion, that simple word strike occurs in Zechariah 13:7 when we read that God's chosen shepherd was struck. And although the sheep would be scattered, the end result of it all would be the salvation and deliverance of God's people. Our Lord was struck with the judgment of God while on the cross and in His death that we might be passed over and delivered from the judgment that we deserve. Without Jesus, we're no better than proud Herod and the worms that consumed him ought to be consuming us. Thanks be to God, then, for the deliverance provided for us in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray that you would grant to us, like this church, to pray, to have faith, to not fear, and to recognize that you, our Lord Jesus Christ, decisively act in history for our salvation and for our good. Amen.